Many thanks to my good friend, the Baron, whose late father, Zichron Livracha, used to be my Rebbe in Gateshead Yeshiva. I'm told it's about 2.5 years since I was last here, and that when I was last here, it's in Elul, and that actually gives me a starting point. The Maharal in Netzach Yisrael says that the period of the what's known as the equinoxes, that's the spring and the autumn, Klal Yisrael at its high point. They have Yom Tov of Pesach, as a Shman Geula, and in the September, in the time of Tishri, you've got all the Sukkos and the Yom Neroim. It's the high point of our careers. Unfortunately, however, our high points don't always stay on top, because in the middle of the summer and in the middle of the winter, things go wrong. In Tammuz and Av, we have Tisha B'Av, we have the Churban, and in the winter, where we now, we are, it's true, we're coming out of Hanukkah, but the month of Tevis is a particularly bad time for us, and we've got to be especially careful to watch ourselves that we don't fall into the same trap as our forefathers did, and we've got to be careful that we don't create the conditions of a Churban. So in speaking in Elul, of course, it's probably a lot easier than speaking in Tevis. But I'm here now, and what I was going to discuss was the Inyonim of Tevis. And we haven't got a lot of time, we're supposed to be somewhere else shortly, but I thought perhaps I'd throw out a few quiz questions for you to work on. I used to be very interested in quizzes. The first question is, where's Tanakh mentioned in Shulchan Aruch? If I see any, well, I won't tell you this very second. Sorry?
What's tonight?
Exactly, what's tonight? Well, if you knew what tonight.
That's a Thursday night, there's going to be Chabur later.
Yeah, but I'm asking you, where is it? Where is tonight? Tonight, and it goes for 24 hours. It's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch somewhere. The second question is, which is relevant, is where do you find twice? You find twice in our liturgy. Twice we have a 3-day fast. That's the next question you've got to put your mind. Where do we find a 3-day fast? On Purim. Well, we don't fast 3 days on Purim. You're right, it's connected with Purim, not on Purim. It's when? Esther had a 3-day fast which went into Pesach, and that's in the Megillah. That's quite right. So you've got 50% of the answer. But there's another occasion which we're going to see hopefully in a second. In fact, if you were Boki in the Slichus, you would realize the answer very quickly. Let me just read out the Slicha, which we're going to say on Aseret B'Tevis. The first Slicha on Aseret B'Tevis goes like this. We say, L'keinu l'keva, seinu, ezkero motzo kashet ra'oni. I remember the Torahs which happened to me. B'sholos makash b'chodesh hazeh hikani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hit me with 3 big makas. Gidani, heniani, hichani. All different forms of bashing us up. Do diachani b'shmeina bo, smolis v'yamonis. He crushed us on the 8th, to the left and to the right. Halo shloshtan kovati tainis. And therefore, the simple pshat is, I made those 3 days into a tainis. That's the answer to the second question. So in addition to the tainis of Esther, which is the 3 days, we see from the slichus that he made a 3-day tainis tonight, then the next day, and the next day. For 3 days, that's the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. Had you known your slichus, you'd have known that there was this 3-day fast. We don't keep it today, it's too much. But it is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. If you have a look, And this is out in, if I can find it, Orech Chaim Siman Tov Kuf Pei Siyaf Beis, Siyaf Beis. In English, that's 508, chapter 580, paragraph 2. It says as follows, Beches betevis nichtava Torah yevonis b'mei Talmai HaMelech v'yachoshech ba'olam shloshi yomim. These are the days where it's, which is specified in Shulchan Aruch that many people fast, and he says it's because the Torah was translated into Greek on the 8th of Tevis. So Shulchan Aruch mentions tonight as one of the days in which you would fast, and the Slichos suggests that there should have been a 3-day fast, because when the Torah was translated into Greek, the world was dark for 3 whole days. The darkness, of course, represents the choshech of the Yevonim. As we know, the Medrash says, v'choshech ha'pnei ha'tahom, at the beginning of Bereishis, that's the Yevonim, and that's what Chanukah, the light of Chanukah, is meant to overcome. And that's what you're all doing here, trying to get the light of the Torah to overcome the dark of the Hellenists, etc. Fine, that's the 8th, 3 days. Interestingly enough, the 3 days which we're going into now, the Shulchan Aruch says he has no idea what the reason was for the 9th. He knows why it should be on the 8th, but he knows why we have a fast on the 10th, but he has no idea why we fast on the 9th. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, obviously the Beis Yosef didn't have our slichus. Because had he had our slichus, you would have heard the following. Let me continue. Zoamti besishobo bichlimo vochefa. That means I was, let's see what the article translated. It's easy to try to make my own translation. I was reproached on the 9th of this month with humiliation and disgrace. Chosach me'olam me'il hod vo'tsefer. Torov torav bo anosinim reshefer hu Ezra ha'sofer. It was the yahrzeit of Ezra ha'sofer. And Ezra ha'sofer was perhaps the greatest person in the sense of achievement from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was the greatest person in our history. He got the Torah for us. But Ezra ha'sofer brought back the Torah from the Golas Bavel against all the odds. And not only that, he created the methodology of our tefillahs, of our all the brachas, all the tefillahs, and many, many other things which were started by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, of which Ezra ha'sofer was the perhaps the greatest member. And he died on the 9th. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's the reason why it's such a tragic day for us. And although the Beis Yosef says he has no idea what the reason was, Mishnah Berurah seems to think that from the slichus we have the reason. It could be that the Beis Yosef also had knew that this was the day, but he didn't think that a yahrzeit was a day for tragedy. After all, you know, yahrzeit can actually be it can be an ilui. It's not necessarily a tragedy. But anyhow, that's what the slichus say. Then it goes on, Yom HaSiri, on the 10th of Tevis, Tzuvo Ven Buzi, is that Tzuvo or Tzivo? Well, I think it should be, it says Tzuvo. Yes, Tzuvo Ven Buzi Achoza. That's Yecheskel the Novi was commanded, Ksovlo Sefer HaMachazeh, Nizikon Am Nomes V'Nizze Es Etzem HaYom HaZeh. Yecheskel was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Nevuah to make a fast on the 10th of Tevis, and the words chosen were Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and the Slichus says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Now you might say, well, what's so special about that? Well, if you have a look in Chumash, I'm sure this is question number 3. How many times in Chumash do we come across the words Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh? Well, if you've got a Balkari, you might have a chance. In fact, there are 12 occasions, as far as I'm aware, in Chumash. Yeah, is that right? I don't think anybody contradicts me. Sorry? Yeah, there are 12 occasions, of which 3 of them occur in connection with Yom Kippur. I'm sure you're aware of the Rashi, which occurs on Etz HaMayom HaZeh in three places, or is it three or four places? Anybody know where Rashi is? Yeah? One with Mitzrayim, good lad, yes. When they wanted to go out of Egypt, I take you up Etz HaMayom HaZeh. Rashi says, even if the Egyptians will come and try to stop you, there's no way they'll do it. Another one is in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was going to go die, Kodesh Baruch Hu says he's going to do it in the middle of the day, and even if the people try to stop me from doing it, it's going to happen. And the third occasion was in the time of Noach, right? When Noach was going to build the Teva, even if they try to stop him with axes and hammers, nothing will stop him. Be'et Samyam Hazeh. So that's what Samyam Hazeh means. So we see that Yechezkel was also told to do something Be'et Samayom HaZeh. Now, there is in Drash, Gzeres Shava, although you can't be a proper Gzeres Shava, but Gzeres Shava between the words of Yechezkel and the Pasuk in Chumash. And it could even have an Afkim in Allah Halacha. It's like this. There's a Halacha in Shulchan Aruch that if any tainis of the Arba Tarnesim falls on Shabbos, it's nidcha until Sunday. Because we can't fast on Shabbos except Yom Kippur. Whether it's Tisha B'Av, whatever it is, it gets nidcha until the following day. The Mishnah Berurah says on the spot, hang on, it can't be four tainesim because we know Asar B'Tarnesim never falls on Shabbos. So it says Lav Davka, it means the other three. It means only the Arba Tarnesim, but Asara B'Tavis can't fall out on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah says, but had Asara B'Tavis fallen on Shabbos, it would be like the rest. If, however, you look at the Beis Yosef, you'll see the Beis Yosef says, no, there are shittas which hold that were Asara B'Tavis to fall on Shabbos, which it can't, but if there were Al Pi Ariyah, if it did, then you would have to fast even on Shabbos. Asara B'Tavis is so severe in that sense that because we use the same terminology in Yechezkel as is used in Chumash, the same Be'et Samayom HaZeh, that teaches us that it's got to be kept like Yom Kippur in that respect. We don't pass in like the halacha. In any case, it's not relevant until Mashiach will come, and probably he'll sort it out himself anyhow. But that's the importance we see of what happened on Asara B'Tavis. What we're getting here is a picture of this particular time of there, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th, when it was really very, very tragic. This 10th of Tavis is mentioned in a number of places in Tanakh, and it's we told that in Yirmiyah, but in Malachim, that there was a siege which was set by Nebuchadnezzar, and that started on the 10th of Tavis. So the Tavis was really the beginning of the series of events which actually led eventually to the Korban itself. The four events, of course, that we know are Shavuos B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedaliah, and Asara B'Tavis. Those four events. We don't include Tainis Esther, but that's not for that reason. Tainis Esther is for other reasons, to do with Purim, to do with thanks to Hashem, etc. But the four Tainesim which relate to the Churban are those four. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches on the base, quotes the pasuk from which Novi. And we know that Nopikya Novi mentions these four fasts. It actually mentions four fasts. No? Well, you obviously haven't got that far in Novi yet. It's in Zechariah. If you have a look in Zechariah, if I can just find the exact reference to it. It's in Zechariah chapter 6, Pasuk Yud Ches. He talks about Tzom Ha-Revi, Tzom Ha-Chamishi, Tzom Ha-Shvi, and Tzom Ha-Asiri. The Novi tells you that these will be fasts. However, the Novi also says, when the Shalom, the Israel, which the Mepharshim says that's when the Beis HaMikdash was built, Then there were times of happiness, especially happy. Just like Tisha B'Av would be a Moed, it would be a happy day. So these days will be happy, but when there's no Sholem B'Olam, there will be tragedy. That's the, and the Gemara goes on to discuss exactly what's meant. Now I have had a friend who actually came from Manchester, and he came to Sunderland Beis Medrash because he had relations, and at the time he was not a particularly from, he was from background but wasn't terribly interested in so much, and he came to Sunderland where I was, and he found that we had a sort of a more perhaps exciting form of Yiddishkeit. The gentleman went off subsequently to yeshiva, he went to yeshiva. Bad choice of words, and I say went off. I don't mean went off, he went on. He went and became a God of Israel. He learned day and night, and he became a very, very respected Rosh Yeshiva. And his name, I don't know whether you ever come across it, his name is Rav Mordechai Potash. He's got sons now, also Rabbonim. And this gentleman, this Rav, started to write very fascinating sorts of svarim, particularly regarding tefillah. I don't know whether you've seen his work on the Mea Brochas, you've got it? Yeah. And he wrote many svarim. One of the svarim he wrote was called the Svonoso Ein Mispar. And he gets involved in gematrias. Now you've got to be careful with gematrias because you can prove all sorts of things which you shouldn't. But if you get the right gematria, it's very uplifting. And this is a gematria which he came across. Whether it's his own or not, I don't know. But it says the following. If you will take the Tzom Revi, that's four. The Tzom HaChemishi, that's five. How much is four and five is? Nine. The Tzom HaShevi is how much?
Close.
Yeah. Seven. I didn't catch what we're number. Nine and seven is? And Tzom HaSiri, that's how much? 26. Now, does that not hit you? That hits me. 26 is the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, then, well, let's start again and look at the dates. It's the 17th of Tammuz. You've got the 9th of Av. How much is that? Also 26. The 3rd of Tishri, 29. And 10 of Tevis, 39. 39 is Hashem Echad. Everybody knows 39. That's why we have 39 Malkus. That's why we have 39 Malachas and Shabbos, because it represents the Hashem Echad. Now, if you put your 39 and your 26 together, you get 65, which is the Shema Adnos. Everybody knows that 65 is Hallel, and so forth. And the idea, no, you don't know these things. The Shema Adnos. So we're seeing from here that these fasts, he says, are a counterbalance to the Chilul Hashem which is being caused. Now, that concept actually you find in the Baal HaTurim. If you have a look at the Baal HaTurim on the Toichacha, that's in Kisovo, how many times does Hashem's name occur in the Toichacha? Guess. Not 65, no. 26 times. And the Baal HaTurim says on the Toichacha, most people don't get that far in the Baal HaTurim because it's Kisovo towards the end of the Chumash. It's worth looking through it. He says that the 26 Shemas in the Toichacha are a protection against all the Klolos which the Toichacha gives, and that's why he says we have exactly 26 Shemas of Hashem's name in Shemoneh Esrei. You believe it? Is he right?
It's an amazing coincidence.
The truth of the matter, it isn't exactly right, because you've got to leave out Volem Malshinim, right? And there's another point. The Girsa, the Nusach of the Baal HaTurim, is quite clear in Hoshiva Shav Teinu Gvor Shonu V'Yatzenu Gvor Kilo. How's it go? Oh, he leaves out the Shem. in the nusach of the Bala Turim, he does not have the Shem in Hashiva Shoten. You can see that if you look at the Bala Turim, he counts each. If you look at the Tur Shulchan Aruch, he counts the words in each bracha, and you'll find that he's a bit short on that particular bracha. And the answer is because he didn't have the Shem in that bracha like we've got it. So, if, according to his nusach, leave out Velamachin, which is a later addition, and you haven't got a Shem, you've got exactly 26 Shemas. And he says the 26 Shemas of Shemon Esra are exactly the same 26 Shemas of the Tocha. If you say your Shemon Esra with a girl, you don't realize what things there are in the Shemon Esra. If only I had the time. It's remarkable. So remember, though, anybody here from the Elul 2.5 years ago, when I told you what letter was missing from the first brach of Shemon Esra, does anybody remember that? Was anybody here then? No? Which letter is not there in the first brach of Shemon Esra? And which letter is not there in the second brach of Shemon Esra? I suggest that you have a bit more kavanah with your Shemon Esra and find out these things, because it's remarkable the message that comes through from this. And if you count up all the letters of the Chasimus HaBrachos of Shemon Esra, it's absolutely amazing. It's exactly the same as the gematria of the Rashi Tevis of Krishna from beginning to end. Unbelievable things are there. You just have to find them. I know it's a bit, some of this is a bit gematria dick, but it's still very, very significant, the connections between the different inyonim. But what, sorry?
26
Shem Rachim. Shem Rachim as well, yeah. That's
not Midas Hadin.
Not Midas Hadin, yeah.
It should be Midas Hadin.
Not really, because the Shem Hashem at the end is really Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the Etzem Shem Hashem, which is Mashkiach of the whole world. And we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. That was Midas Adin, it's true, but with the Chilul of the Hashem, the one Shem which came along. Okay, I take your point, but it doesn't mean to say that we can't use we call Kiddush Hashem, we don't say Kiddush Elokein. You're right in a way that the Midas Adin is what we'll get, but at the end of the day, the Midas Adin and the Midas Rachim is the same thing. And it's the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem Adnas, have that protection. Anyhow, let's. Sorry? I can't hear, sorry?
Which letter is missing now?
Oh, you can find that for yourself. You don't look at you, that's not mine. You can do it. Same thing. It's just, oh, Rebbe Shimon is also a letter missing. What's that? Gomel Chasodim Toivim. What's the matter with you? There's a test in the first bracha. Sorry? I'll tell you something else. There's a letter missing from the whole of Shemon Esra and the whole of Benchin. One of the 27 letters of the Aleph Beis. The 27 letters, these are 22 letters, the 27 letters of the Aleph Beis is missing from the whole of Benchin and the whole of Shemon Esra. And you've got
to have Manat stuff as well.
Yeah, 27 letters. Right? Right. That's why there are 28 letters in the first pasuk of Bereishis. There are 28 letters which represent the 27 letters of the Aleph Beis, plus the Aleph which comes twice, because Aleph becomes Aleph. That's how it all works. It's all sort of, there's so much behind the scenes. Now let's get back to finish off this off, because I've got to go somewhere else. We're trying to explain the importance of getting back onto the right lines, especially in the months of Tevis after Hanukkah. We've had the light of Hanukkah. We've realized that the light of the Torah will dispel all the darkness, all the things which go wrong. The Greeks, in certain respects, the Greeks actually are praised. Yafta lukim liyefes, the prophet says, give beauty to Yefes. And did you know that the Sefer Torah, according to the Gemara in Megillah, can be written in Lashon HaKodesh or in Greek? No other language. Only Greek, apart from Hebrew. So it can't be so terrible. And Mefarshim explain there's different things. if the, it's just the Greek language, if it's just that the Greeks are doing what Yefes was doing, honoring his father, that's fine. But to start involving ourselves in the culture of the Greeks, in the Chochmas Yevonis, that's an absolute disaster. If you translate the Torah, it depends why you translate the Torah. If you translate the Torah because you want to make a Schottenstein version of the Daf Yomi, and you want to learn Daf Yomi over the day, that's praiseworthy. If you want to translate it into English so that you can beschmutz it, or so you can make funny stories or TV programs or this sort of thing, chas v'chalila, you're demeaning it. And there's two meisim. The one in Megillah is one meisa, and there's another meisa. And the ganze machlok is as to which meisa was which and what went on. But one thing is clear, that there were two separate meisim. If you look, the Yalkut Me'amlo is on the first pasuk of Bereishis. It's a long story, which I'd have loved to be able to read out and tell you. It's a beautiful story, far better than fiction. Read the story in Yalkut Me'amlo. If you've got an English edition, noch besser. If you can read it in Hebrew, read it. It tells you the whole maisa of how the Greeks made the Chazal translated the Chumash for the Greeks, and they were praised for it. It was a tremendous simcha. On the other hand, we know that on the 8th, that's tonight, they translated into Greek a different thing, and then it became a complete and utter disaster. The same thing, both translations. One was at Maisa, which was Le'ela Le'ela, and the other was the Ta'am Lamata Lamata. It all depends. You learn Lishmo. You can learn with English. It's very, very valuable if you've got English books which assist you. If your kavona is Ritzuya, if your kavona is to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, if your kavona is in order to build up the Keren HaTorah, to make yourself good people, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to serve ourselves and our tithes and our desires. If the purpose of life is to create light in the world like the Chashmonaim did, then we will see the answer to the Tisha B'Av, to the Churban, and all that goes with it. If Chas V'Shalom we misuse the opportunities we've been given, and we use them for our own covert, we use them for our own interests, we cheat and we do things which we shouldn't, then you end up with Sinas Chinom, you end up with Tisha B'Av, you end up with Asara B'Tavis, and you end up with the Torah being a disaster area. Better not to touch it. Translating it into foreign languages is fraught with difficulty. And before the art scroll went ahead, they got the scum of the Gedolei Ador to what they did. Because it's Eis La'asos L'Hashem. Everything you do, you've got to do al pi chachomim, talmidei chachomim, and everybody has to follow the dictates of the Torah, and then that way you shall all be zoicha, so you become talmidei chachomim yourselves, to go in the right path, to bring light to the world, and there, and to do what the Chashmonaim did, and not Chas V'Shalom fall into the trap of the Greeks and the Shiab. And the Greek is just a symbol, a symbolic name, a symbolic word for the alien cultures. And today, the alien cultures can be pleasure. It might be the wrong use of the internet. Even the internet, you can use it for Torah, tremendous amount of Torah. There's Daf Yomi on the internet. There's something called the Ha'ot, so it's got all the Sephora, thousands upon thousands of Sephora, which are fantastic use. On the other hand, if you abuse it, you misuse it, it can be the most worst disaster in history. It's all a question of making sure that we use our talents and our kochos in the right way. I hope you'll all be zeicha to do so and to become gedolim and to learn as much Torah as you can while you've got the opportunity in the yeshiva. And in Mitzvah Hashem, we shall all see the Gula Shlem B'Mehev Yomei.